Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, It's January. January the 12th. My gosh. Yes, January the 12th, 2014. And we're still doing this stuff, and we haven't turned into atom bombs yet. Anyway, welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, everbeyond.info, and various points west of Andromeda. We'll be... we'll be riding the stars tonight. I mean, I tell you, we'll be going. I'm sure we'll be going under the ground, over the ground, and certainly into the galactic consciousness. For tonight, my guest is my dear friend Rebecca Jernigan. Without any more ado, do I need to to introduce? And no, that's right. You need no introduction, but I just gave you one. So anyway, so there's a free introduction, gratis, and shut up, Jeremy. Hello, Rebecca.
You're doing beautiful, darling. Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, more to the point, you know, how are you? Where you been? What's happened? How are you?
Oh my goodness.
Are you? Seems a bit kind of on and off.
I don't even have an answer for you.
Yeah.
Me? Yes. Well, yeah. Obviously, with these CMEs, you know, I had my guests all lined up for Friday, and Thursday night, the internet went down, and it just kept going up and down all day. It was like a yo-yo. And so I called the show just because of the fact that it was so intermittent for over 24 hours. So it's just been kind of strange. And I suspect we're going to get more of that, you know, and I've talked about that before, and you and I have talked about it together about, you know, technology is not going to be real stable just due to the galactic energies, the energetics out there, as well as CMEs, solar flares, people call them different things at different times, depending on what it is that you're looking at. So there you go. So, Lots of things. It's my show is going to be about, and we're going to get to the galactic stuff here in just a minute with you. My show is going to be coming up over the next few weeks to few months, Jeremy. I'm going to be really getting into the whole construct thing and the new energetics, and I'm getting more and more information on it, on how to traverse those things and how we manage and maintain through this time frame, and I'm hoping that the audience, when the time comes, you know, will be asking some questions, and I might even be doing some kind of impromptu Q&As where I'll just be making an announcement. Anybody wants to come in, this is going to be the topic. It won't be a radio show. It'll be through my conference call, and it'll be private sessions, you know, where people can come in all as a group, but it'll be private. It won't be a publicly broadcast. So, you know, that being said, Jeremy, we've all been watching our own selves, our own backyard, so to speak, go up and down with these galactic energies. I know that there's a lot of people out in the audience that are listening that have had some more than we would say usual experiences in galactic interactions, whether it be on, you know, what I call spirit communication, or whether it be through lucid dreaming, or there's some other things as well that they may be experiencing. that you could call galactic. I mean, I don't know if for you, Jeremy, or the people out there, you know, I was on Curie's show a couple of weeks ago talking to the physicist and listening to her past interviews with Keshe, Mr. Keshe. He's an interesting guy. And as I was listening to him, he said the same things that I've been talking about and you've been talking about, which is that, you know, the discovery about beyond, it's beyond the quantum physics that we're actually going through. We're learning about, the scientists and the physicists are coming into major realizations. He's saying, but we just don't have the language. We do not have the dialoguing capabilities of communicating that which we're discovering, which is exactly what we've been talking about.
Yes, because
And I was just saying, and that's evidence of what we've been talking about, and I've been talking about, is about this new energy. It's here. It's present. The physicists are now saying, hey, it's here, but we don't know how to tell you what it is because we don't know what it is.
We can't even measure it on our own instruments.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it exists or not, but people are affected by it, yes.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy good?
Well, yeah, it's crazy good. It's weird good. And also, you know, I was talking with Katie in the last show about, you know, what do we do about Obamacare? All right, well, it's, you know, it's crazy, it's messed up. We've got to do something else. You just have to do something completely different. You know, I suggest, you know, why not have medical co-ops, you know, like you have housing co-ops and other businesses in cooperative ways. And so that we, you know, people still have that sense of safety and privacy when they go to the doctor to get themselves healed and things like that. Anyway, meanwhile, on a galactic level, galactically, people are suffering, right? All right, and people are suffering because they don't know what is wrong with them, and maybe that there's nothing wrong with them. You know, it's about what happened to them, and it's just kind of backing out, and it's what we call, like, let's say, an exit wound. You know, imagine we got shot by a bullet, you know, 100 years ago, and it settled into our skin, and it's very slowly pushing its way out. It's not going to be painless when it comes out, but it'll be finished. You know, it'll be done with.
Yeah.
And I think this is what we're experiencing at the moment. We're pushing all those spears out of our bodies, all the injuries that we've ever had, which would damage our etheric body, and especially if they're, you know, in times of magical wars, you know, they scar your soul as well. So all these things are now being pushed out because we've got this light that is growing. CMEs, I believe, are the effects or an analog to the thing that's happened to the galaxy. And that's another thing that I was talking in the shows earlier on this evening. It was about the galactic wave and how it's affected me. And, you know, you're someone who, you're more of a canary in the coal mine. You know, you're further into the mine, you know, and you're swooning around. You know, you might have gone to a doctor and the doctor, you know, scratches their head and scratches other bits and still doesn't figure out what is going on with you because he's never come across it. She's never come across it. It's not anything that has happened in hundreds of millions of years or dozens of millions of years, and nobody knows how to deal with it. But we're the pathfinders, aren't we?
Exactly. I like that idea of calling us the pathfinders. You know, some people would call them the scouts, the ones that went forward, right? And said, oh, hey, yeah, I'll go check it out, and I'll get back with you. We raised our hand and said, yeah, we'll go explore. We'll go see what this brave new thing is all about, right?
Yeah, and we'll wear this blindfold with a tiny little pinhole in it so that we can see into this world. Yeah, that was a good idea, wasn't it? Whose idea was that? I hope it wasn't mine.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we did agree to it. And listen, and just for the record here, I actually went back. It took me a few years to really get to that point, but it wasn't all that long ago. I went back to the moment where I left my what the Michael teachings would call your soul group, right? My original point of origin soul group. When I left the soul group, and I made the decision to venture and descend down through, you know, the galactic goo, so to speak, to arrive here to herald in, you know, these new times. I was one of them. Now, there was another one, interestingly enough. Actually, there were two more other than myself that volunteered for the same mission, which was really very heartening to me because, you know, how many times have we all felt like, man, I'm alone. Nobody understands me. You know, I'm on this journey by myself and, you know, everybody else around me thinks I'm crazy, you know, or you're looking to make that energetic connection with somebody and you're thinking, where are these peeps at that, you know, I'm supposed to be connected to? So we kind of all flounder out around there. But, you know, that was the point. We did not congregate together for a reason, because it was about, you know, connecting from a different level now. And so that was like the biggest lesson that I had when I looked at that. I was like, so I recognize these other two that I was with at the time that we decided to leave the fold, so to speak, and, you know, come to this world through this little looking glass, as you so aptly put it, through this little dot, and said, oh yeah, we can do that. And, so I thought, okay, well, this is good. You know, there's some others of my group here, at least two more than I know of. There could have been more, but that was all I seen for, you know, the scope of that particular session that I was doing. And I can tell you that one of those people is here on this planet. And there will come a time when I will meet this other individual. I do know that before I leave this physical form. I will know who that person is. I have not met this person yet. So I think this is very interesting because, you know, as we look at how did we arrive here? What were we thinking? What were we doing? Well, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're bringing ourselves into this higher level of vibration. And you know how many years and millions of years and billions perhaps that it's taken to get this planet raised in its vibration to herald in this new time? Obviously, there's been other timelines, so to speak, that the planet has undergone major changes and our population on this planet has changed and our technology has changed. And I guess you can call it those that were in controller power or authority have changed, you know, at least what they look like, right? Not necessarily maybe so much how it operates. So, you know, when you're taking this bigger picture like this and you're looking at it and you're going, wow, okay, this is way beyond me worrying about whether or not I get to eat, you know, my piece of toast today or with butter on it or not. You know, we got a huge thing going on here. We're here. We're doing our duty. We're doing our job. We're on our missions, and the people that are out there listening are listening to this, right? And they're owning their own sense of who they are and their sense of purpose. I hope they are. And they realize that they play an integral part in all of this. Every single one of us plays a part in it. And the idea here with these new energies is this is where the bigger picture of separation of the wheat from the chaff gets into. And that's something that I'm going to be going into in extreme detail in the future weeks coming ahead, is this thing that they were telling me about all them years ago was the separation of the wheat from the chaff. I mean, here I thought I'd reached the pinnacle of it, honestly, JP, in 2012. But that was just the door actually swung open, and now we're going to see it in more earnest. So the next few years are really going to transition this planet one way or the other. Transition.
They call that process threshing.
Yes. I read that. I was like, oh, I love this.
The threshing floor, in fact, is the place where it happens. And you know, they basically batter the crap out of the wheat until it gives up the grain.
That's right.
So that's how you separate wheat from chaff. You bash the crap out of it. Again, the mortar and pestle idea. In the last show, Katie was talking about Capricorn and Pluto. Pluto moving through Capricorn. I said, "Well, that sounds like, you know, Capricorn is the pestle, and Pluto is the pestle, and Capricorn is the mortar. Yeah, is the bowl, where everything is ground to a powder, and we're disorganized to become reorganized."
Yes. Yes. So you wanted to do kind of focus on the galactic aspect of this tonight, yes?
I don't mind where you want to go with it, really, Rebecca, because, you know, it's just, you know, your people have things to say.
Oh, goddamn, shut up for a couple of days now. Seriously,
exactly.
It's been
so this is
overwhelming.
This is because they know that this. So this is what you're here to talk about. What they've been telling you in the last couple of days is that, you know, they've been loading you for the show.
Well, they've been loading me up for a whole bunch of stuff. I have to tell you is that these last few days, and actually this last couple of weeks, have been, I don't even have a word for it. I can't even describe it in my own personal world over here, right? Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath here so I can gather my thoughts for just a moment. Because I have to kind of segregate out different aspects of what it is I'm going to tell you, so that, because otherwise it won't make any sense.
Yeah, we get you.
What has been happening here is that since the year 2008, thereabouts, just generally speaking, and that's when I noticed that my radio shows started taking on a different topics, different things that were coming in, right? Was back in 2008 and 2009. And back in 2008, the energetics that we're experiencing now were actually introduced into this planet. You see, a lot of times we think that the door opens and then there's just this big dumping ground of stuff. But it's actually been a buildup. But it has escalated, obviously. And a lot of this is through the astrological alignments. You know, for those that listen to my show or listen to any of the astrologers will recognize that 2013 was a lot about these extreme galactic lineups. Of course, we know what happened in 2012, at the end of 2012 and into 2013. And then we started out January 1st with this extreme grand cross in the sky. We're going to have, you know, two full moons in the same month. I mean, it just, you know, it's just one thing on top of another on top of another. I mean, it's just escalating. It's rearing its head, these energetics, right? So this energy that came in is, again, getting back to that whole idea of the separation of the wheat from the chaff, is which side will you choose? This universe that we live in is based on the science of duality. Now, when we talk about duality, a lot of people will put it into the same aspects of right or wrong, left or right, up or down, black or white. And that's the surface level of duality, because duality in itself, on both sides of it, have way more depth and information than what we currently can comprehend on an extremely deep level. People talk about the ascension process into the fifth dimension. Well, you know, duality will be experienced there as long as they remain in this universe, and so on and so forth through the hierarchy, right? Going up through the fifth, sixth, whatever. I mean, whatever your belief system is on the structure of this, right? But if you're really looking at that, the idea of duality, it's not quite as cut and dry as people think. And when you're looking at the side of one or side of the other, whether you're looking to your right or looking to your left, or you're looking up or you're looking down, it's not that pinhole like you talked about, right, in the beginning. It gets to be quite expansive, yes?
So just clearing the little, the dust on the window, just clearing it a little bit, you know, widening the hole slightly.
Yeah, and you just keep widening it, and so that down or up that you're looking at, or in or out, or whatever, the picture becomes bigger and bigger, and there becomes more elements, right, to whichever right or left, up or down, dark or light that you're looking at, in the idea of duality, yes? So, in this new energy that kind of showed itself here in 2008, there was the choices that people need to make. I think I just stated that. Now, being that we are able to choose, that is the idea of human experience here on this planet, is the ability to choose. We can choose to stay or we can go. We can choose not to make a choice, which is also making a choice, or we can choose to be vegan or not be vegan. We can choose to drink milk or not drink milk. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. We can choose. We can choose who our friends are, who mates are. We can choose where we live. We can choose what we do for a living. Well, we also have to begin to choose which side of the duality do we want to focus more attention on, understanding that it doesn't take away the other side. It's still going to coexist. But it's what side are you going to give most of your attention to? Which side are you going to kind of stay and say, this is the side I want to be on. This is the side of duality I want to operate out of. Not one being better or worse than the other. They are simply what they are as choices. But understand, the more that you raise your own personal vibration, the more you raise your own frequency, it raises the collective consciousness level into a whole different vibration, so that it begins to vibrate at a higher frequency itself, because you've added more higher frequency into it, part of the collective consciousness. Now, all of this is like the proverbial pebble in the pond. It begins to send out ripples, right? Oh my gosh, we've got more people going over here than we had over here. We've got more people that are awakened and then not awakened, and you know, so it's like everything is still trying to vie for its top dog position. You know, that's what energies do. They're chaotic. They're very chaotic. They're not static. They don't follow any of these rules very nice and neatly and succinctly. We had quite a lot of reprieve here on this planet for many a time, where you could wake up one day and know what to expect the next day, right? You knew what to expect, and pretty much it usually, generally speaking, didn't come with a lot of really strange, odd, bizarre changes. That's not so much anymore. I think you can say that in your own life when you look back.
You can say that again. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. Just doing your normal thing nowadays is like a lot more, it costs a lot more money. You need more permits to do whatever it is you want to do. You have to pay money to do this, you have to pay money to do that, you have to pay money to do all these things. And if you haven't got the money, or if you haven't got the time, or you can't be asked, then you can't do those things. So you have a lot less freedom to which means power, essentially, to do whatever you want to do. You have the power to do so if you you take the permission and take the time. But if you haven't got the money, then you can't exercise your will, which is what power is.
Right. So here we are. We're sitting here on a day-to-day basis, and things are very different. They're very different in these energies that just what you're talking about. This is part of the reaction of the structure, the construct that was placed here, right, that has been placed here, to the more that they can introduce laws, rules, regulations, in other words, keeping people penned in for however they're doing it, whether it be more money, more time, more energy, more permits, more this, more that. If they can keep us busy doing things like that, then we aren't being as effective in this higher frequency vibration changeover, the separation of the wheat from the chaff, than what we could be if we were less restricted. So the restriction is the universe's, or the construct's way, rather, of responding to the higher frequencies and vibrations that say these restrictions are not any good, and they're not good. And you see people all the time. I know you're on Facebook, and I know you're on other sites, and et cetera, and so forth. And you see people where they're beginning to really speak out. And I'm talking about people in positions of what we would call authority, you know, governors and senators that are actually, you know, maybe part of the white hat group, if you want to call it that, certainly part of the good guys, and saying, wait a minute, why are we passing these laws about GMOs, and how come we're protecting them, and how come we're protecting that? The corporations have become, you know, the godheads, so to speak. They have determined our lives, and that's because it's all about money and power. But you're seeing people coming out of the woodwork, standing up. People, I'm looking at the shift. There for a while, I was a little concerned for humanity overall. I really was. I was like, oh my God, these people just aren't getting it. Why aren't they getting it? But they are getting it. More and more people are becoming more logical. They're questioning everything. We have children in school going, you know what? Wait a minute. Why are we learning about this? Why are we doing this? You know, what is the end result here, that I'm going to take some kind of college education class here, or, you know, try to get a college education, and as soon as I get out of school, I'm going to be $100,000 in debt, and I'm starting my life out $100,000 in debt because there are no jobs unless I have this and this, and only the privileged few who can afford it or put themselves into a massive quantity of debt can even go to these colleges anymore. And, you know, that's all of it is part of, you know, this process of separating the wheat from the chaff. This is all part of recognizing what doesn't work, and people more and more are recognizing what doesn't work. Now, what does that say about the whole part of this universe? It means that the whole part of this universe is responding to these shifts and changes, and it continues to bring a major source of energetic confusion and chaos to this planet. And it's also affecting other planets as well, but because this is the planet that we live on, we have a tendency to focus on this and only this as it pertains to the humans that are here, right? Because we really are the ones that are the shakers and the movers. I mean, you know, we're the ones out there literally shaking the apples off the tree going, hello, anybody there? And hoping that somebody's going to listen to us, right?
Yeah.
And hoping somebody's going to answer us and saying, hello, hello, hello. You know, we're down here working. Yeah, kind of a thing, right? So, you know, the construct part of this comes into play because it actually keeps these energetics that have been here more concentrated around the idea here of our little local universe we'll call the Earth, right? But it's quickly already begun its erosion process. I've talked to people about this before, about it was never meant to be a permanent fixture here, and the energetics certainly are causing it to deteriorate. But the memories that we're working with, in other words, the established energetics, are memories. I mean, that's why we see ghosts and spirits and all of that, is because they're caught in this, they're literally trapped here, and they're kind of, it's like kind of like hitting the replay button to be able to touch them. They're working in a dimension that's parallel to us or next to us or whatever you want to call it. So we get these energetics on this planet that are memory energetics, and that's what we all have to understand. So when people tell you that it's an illusion, it really is an illusion. It's a memory illusion that this is the way that it's always been, because it hasn't always been that way on this planet. What we have to do is break through the illusion. We still have to work within the parameters given us, but the more of us that break the illusion, the less of a hold that it has, and we will begin to see even more people coming up out of their own slumber, out of their own sleep, and going, we want something different and something better for humanity. And it is going to, and it is affecting it all across this universe, all across this universe. And I think there's a lot of people out there that may have already been having some of these experiences for themselves. Maybe they haven't been able to, put a kind of in context a view of it, and maybe it's just been kind of out there, not quite sure how it actually functions or focuses. But I would say that if people could really understand that the construct is the illusion, we're really working against memories, old energetics, in other words, we can call it the old regime, whatever you wish to call it. It's stepping out of that and realizing that we have new energetics here that we can step into that are just as powerful no matter which side you want to align yourself with.
You know, the this is the thing that everybody's been waiting for, isn't it? This new stream of energy. And we know that it's coming, and everybody's put their little fence around it to say, oh, this is my energy, and this is... No. You know, this is energy that belongs to everybody, because the galaxy shines on everybody.
It does.
It radiates, you know. Everybody's going to get it, and like I keep saying, even Homer Simpson is going to go through initiations and ascensions and will eventually become some kind of little star. Little Tinkerbell. Anyway, because you know that's my feeling. Everybody should be happy, really, and Homer's unhappy. So let's talk about the process of the separation of the wheat and the chaff, as your people have put it. I had this video from Alex Collier, long time. Before he was drawing this diagram, and if you wanted to imagine, say, a plastic sheet or a cling film or something like that, what do you call it, saran wrap or something, and you put a very heavy weight into it, you know, kitchen weight, and it kind of pushes down,
right?
And so it's like a kind of membrane, and it's got a really heavy weight in it,
right?
And he said that at one point, this weight, this was in a universe, and that weight then dropped. It tore the bag, tore the membrane, and it dropped through and became our universe of density. So is there a feeling in that this is another kind of sub-process, some mini-process of that, like a macro-micro version of the same thing, of a whole bunch of stuff that is just too dense for this plane, just a hole rips, it drops through, and then the hole seals itself up again. Is there that kind of conception?
You know, they're saying that has a lot of accuracy to it. You can look at the construct as a membrane, like that cling wrap, saran wrap, whatever you want to call it, right? Yep. And it's very much like that. And that's why, you know, there are some people that have been able to get on the other side of the construct, look back, and they can see what it is. Other people, the majority of people, still don't realize that this construct, or the membrane, as you call it, is still in place. Because we can still see out to the stars, we can still see out to other galaxies, et cetera, and so forth. And it does allow for, you know, some influx of incoming and outgoing kind of structures, you know, whether they be rockets, that kind of thing, et cetera, and so forth, right? And it's a good idea to look at it from the viewpoint that it's this weight does put a tear into it. But the way that I look at this is that there's a lot of weights all around it at this point, has been for a while, these weights. And there's these tiny tears everywhere. Now, these tiny tears is what allows us to get up and get us a breath of fresh air, so to speak, air that we don't even realize that is out there available to us. And some of those tears, because there's so many of them, they can't heal themselves anymore. Because, again, I tell you, the construct was never meant to be a permanent fixture around this planet. Never. It was built by some ancient races a long time ago, and their purposes then were very nefarious. They left it, and after a while, they've moved on, moved past and beyond this. The construct is kind of babysat by, you know, some leftovers. Leftovers of the group, yeah. Leftovers of the group, right? And, you know, as kind of a way of reporting back, to those, whoever it is that they report to, you know, and not to make this sound really strange, although it does, I understand that. But, you know, because there's so many tears and holes in it at this point, because understanding that every time we raise our consciousness level, every time a human being breaks through the illusion of the construct, every single time without exception, it puts a little tear and a hole in it. So the more people that can break through this, the less apt that that membrane, as you call it, can be repaired. There's just too many holes in it. But there again, it opens up the door for things to be very, very different. I think many people who are listening to this show look at their life and go, I don't even know how to make sense of it anymore. I don't, you know, I go to work every day or I do this every day, but it just doesn't seem like the same thing. It's, you know, this happens, that happens, this person says this. I mean, it's like, it just like blindsides you. And that is part of the new energies, because you have to rise to the energetics themselves within the self. The body has to be able to stabilize it so it doesn't feel like you're constantly being set off a kilter, because that is what chaos does, is it keeps you off kilter.
So, we were talking a little bit earlier again with Katie about breatharian Jasmuhin. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do, vaguely. Yeah. I do.
Well, she was saying that they wanted to do a kind of debunk of her. So they took her to a hotel in the middle of town, and they did, you know, they just totally bombarded her with negative energy, or sort of what people call everyday city life. Of course, she couldn't handle it, and, you know, had to hit the ice cream up or something, probably. And, you know, the chocolate and champagne. So what we're talking about is the removal of, so the construct again is that this is something that is only pertaining to this planet or this solar system or the whole galaxy, that we perceive as a galaxy. You know, what sort of level is this?
The construct was put around this planet, including the moon,
right,
in this solar system. Mm-hmm. However, that being said, because understand, it's a technology. Yeah. It's a technology we don't understand. Again, we don't have words for it.
But we're starting, because we've got a cybernetic society now. We understand cybernetic webs. And so
yes.
I think we're beginning to be able to create the mental picture of the construct. So do help us with this. So
it's around this planet, mm-hmm, and this and our moon in this solar system, in this dimension. My understanding is, as you were asking the question, they answered it by saying to me, is that there are other constructs of similar, not same, not identical energetics around other places in other galaxies and other dimensions. This is, we are not, again, here's the thing, we're not supposed to feel like the victims here, right? We all agreed to come here. We all agreed to be here, whether we want to accept that or not. But there are other constructs around other things, and this is the kind of the way that they, what's that word I want to use here? I just had it. They just gave it to me. It's like being the pioneer going out and claiming stake, this is mine, and you know, we're going to control this area. And then once they have this area, quote-unquote, controlled, they leave behind a few people to kind of watch over it, and off they are conquering other places, right?
It's a fence.
Yeah, sort of.
Essentially, you know, because we're talking about this place is a farm. This is the fence of the farm. And so the construct defines the boundaries around which you're bound, yeah?
Yeah, and some people would call that also the karmic cycle. You know, because of this construct, this energetic, is that we're unable to actually break free of the bondage of this construct, mm-hmm, because we believed. And remember, we're talking about other lifelines, other timelines that this soul, your soul, my soul has had on this planet, which is the past life thing, when we believe so much in the world that we're in, that this is the truth of the matter, right? This is how things are. It's just how it is. And we believe what's been told to us through the eons of time, and we've been, it's been, you know, literally beaten into us or beaten out of us or however you want to say it. We've been starved, we've been hurted, we've been lied to, you know, whatever the case may be. All of that energetics resides on this planet, and we carry it around like a souvenir. All of us do. And this is what we have to get rid of, is these artificial beliefs that we have no power, that we have no abilities, that we can't escape this karmic cycle, that you know, this whole idea, this whole premise, it's all tied up into that whole process. And the more you can cleanse and clear yourself of that, you restructure your DNA, you restructure your genetic signals that you're sending to your brain, you're restructuring that so that those laws, those rules that you thought you lived by no longer affect you in that way. Which is how we raise our frequency and vibration, is by letting go of those old beliefs that are not truth, whether from this life cycle or others in past.
And of course, the construct is so constructed as to create thought systems that lock you down into not allowing the idea that that might be possible. Of course, you know, so basically it's like saying you can't go anywhere else. There is nowhere else. So how can you go anywhere else? There's no nowhere else. There's, you know, there's only here, and you're going to be stuck here because that's the laws of karma. Is that what you're talking about? It's stagecraft. It's a mind trick.
It's a mind trick. But you have to remember, when we came here, we knew that this karmic wheel was in here. But the first ones to arrive in this kind of karmic wheel, so to speak, did not realize to what extent that it would infiltrate, right? The idea was is to come in to deconstruct the construct and then move on and do whatever a soul does, right? That didn't happen. We got caught in this karmic wheel, because that's why we were sent here with the amnesia and et cetera and so forth, because we could not bring that information, that power, that knowledge with us on a conscious level. We always have it. We just have to figure out what it is, and then we have to begin to apply it, and we have to step outside of ourselves to realize that this information, this power, this knowledge, this energetics has always been here. We have just believed something that was not true because we were caught in the loop. And that's what I call this karma, is a cycle. It's a loop. Mm-hmm. And it was meant in this, the purpose of this was for us to break free of this construct, break this planet free, which is why in our memory banks, many people call this the prison planet. Because somewhere they knew, without a full understanding of what they were saying, that was truth. This is a prison planet. But not in the way that they may have understood it. It's way more profound and deeper than that. This is about it's a original idea of why we're here, to raise the vibration. Because the whole universe, this whole solar system, this whole third dimension is shifting, and it's changing. It has to, because we're in a different, literally physical space in space. We're in a different energetic. We are in an upcycle. We have to raise the vibration in order to meet that. So this is why the karmic cycle is so important for people to understand, that you have to let go of your past. And you talked about in the beginning about the people, you know, I've got aches and pains and I hurt, and do I need to go to the doctor? Do I not need to go to the doctor? You go to the doctor because it's all in your head, kind of a thing, right?
Totally. And you can't do anything about it, because they haven't got a number and they haven't got a drug for it, because that's not what they're there for.
Yeah.
They're revenue collectors, you know.
It's not about, it's not really about curing, you know, anyway, medicine isn't going to cure what ails us in that sense. This comes from inside the self. This comes from doing that releasing of those past lives and of all that, you know, the pain and the suffering, the lies and the deceit, and not be angry about it, but go, Jesus, I really did sign up for this. Hello? What was I thinking? Again, I said I must have been on drugs myself. I don't know why I decided to do this. But
well, you know, cosmically, we're all hippies, and we're all out there in the grass, and, by the time, hey, let's go down to Earth. I've got a good idea. Let's go down to Earth and right, so, okay, so here's the plan, right? So we come to Earth...
This ought to be good.
Yeah, where we're blindfolded and we're given injections to make us forget, and so we can't actually see the machinery that creates the construct, because A, it's number one, is out of our reach because it's up in space, and B, number two, the human equipment doesn't receive enough information on certain frequency bands like the infrared, so we can't see like eagles can. We can't see like snakes can, or butterflies or whatever. We can't see into the ultraviolet. We can't see how insects see. You know, we can't see how DNA talks. And we can't see DNA flashing from one person to the other, but it does. It's just ultraviolet. We can't see it. Some people can. I think you can.
But you can't. But people, even if they can't see it the way that I see it, because everybody's gifts are going to be slightly different. Even from clairvoyant to clairvoyant, the gifts aren't going to be identical because we're each vibrated at a different rate. We're all unique. Every single last one of us is unique. We carry a lot of characteristics and similarities, as I've talked about before. But honestly, even identical twins aren't identical. They are up to a certain point, and then after that, there is a splitting, and it's that smaller portion of it that actually is the bigger picture, right? Mm. So we can see that in each other. We can see, you know, let's put to the idea here of, you know, why do you like me, Jeremy?
That is a good thought. Number one, you seem to get and understand some of the things that I've been thinking about for a long time. You seem interested in the same things. When we talk, we can almost second guess what the next thing is going to come out because we're going along the same road. So we have a telepathic connection.
Okay. So now let's talk about who's one of your least favorite people that you've met recently. You just give me a first name. You don't have to tattle on anyone. That's not what this is about. Was it a neighbor, a grocery store clerk? Was it somebody in a gas station? Anything like that? Somebody that was just really mean and nasty and you were just like, ick.
Jerry, yeah.
Okay, so talk about Jerry. What about him did you not like?
I didn't like the way he was very critical and sarcastic and... it sounds like me. Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, but his main thing was ungrateful. That was his great
okay.
thing.
You could say then that I resonated with you, or you resonated with me.
Yeah.
But this other Jerry guy, he rubbed you the wrong way, or you didn't resonate with him. You disliked him. That's a DNA signal that's being sent to you that something. From within them. It's not just people think that this is just a personality thing. Oh, he's just an a-hole to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe or maybe not. I know a lot of people that are really sarcastic and critical and rude and mean, but yet I like them. Because I'm actually looking at what's underneath. I'm sensing what's underneath. And if you can get past this thing that they got out in front of them, it's like a little construct, a mini construct around the person. Some people call them masks, right? Cool. If you can get past that and you actually find out, wow, this guy, you know, he really is this and this and this and this, and this mask that he wears was really just a front because he's hurt, he's in pain. But most of the time we find out that the instincts that we had to begin with is that this person is mean-spirited. He's got an ugly soul, in a sense, or he's a mean-spirited soul, right? And the same goes true with people that you might like a lot. On the surface, you like their personality, you like what they stand for, but you get to know them, and underneath you realize that their mask is the opposite, is that they're actually backbiting, they're distrustful, you can't trust them, they're mean-spirited, they'll betray you in a heart second, they talk bad about you behind your back. Okay, so here again, when you get to be able to read the DNA, when you begin to sense that energetic, that's the soul signature of that individual is where the truth of who they are. The personality is just what it is. It's a personality. It's a construct that we use to get around. It's part of our environment. It's part of how we were raised. It's a part of who we said we were going to try to be. You know, you can't have somebody that's meek and mild, you know, as an example, run for, you know, a CEO of a company or a president of a country. There again, you can't have some brash, loudmouth, sarcastic idiot that is going to be a librarian.
Mm. or your doctor.
Or your doctor. They're not going to get very far. They're not going to excel in their choices of their professions.
Yeah, those guys usually go into surgery.
Yeah. Oh, that's
surgeons,
scary.
You know. That's where the first three guys are. Oh, yeah, let's cut something. Oh, they cure for everything. We'll excise it. Yeah, the biopsy. Yeah. Cut the bloody thing off. Yeah.
There you go.
Here we go. There's some questions arriving here. So Tracy's asking, if this was never meant to be permanent...
No, Tracy's not asking it. Some other Johnny was asking it, and he called me Tracy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, okay, Johnny. Johnny says, if this was never meant to be permanent, is it safe to... can I just say that it's safe to assume that this is Rebecca Jernigan that we're talking to?
Go ahead.
Not Tracy. Tracy was a few shows ago. Anyway, meanwhile, Tracy, this was never meant to be permanent. Is it safe to assume that we are not on a path but a road made up as we go along? And that's a very interesting metaphor, because I've often thought that actually we create the path... with our thoughts, and then we walk it, and then we create more, or just, yeah, we kind of project it down the road, and that's how we can do this thing. That's how we can recreate the construct.
Right. And I have to agree with what this person was asking, is that it is safe to assume that you're not on a path, but on a roadmap that we do make up. Because remember, we go back to the original conversation and the earlier conversation I had here, that everything's a choice. We were looking at those pinholes. We decided we were going to come down to this planet, all of us with amnesia, most of us anyway. There's some that have full memories, especially in this new energy. We're getting more and more people that come in with their full, complete memories because their energetics have shifted wherever they're at. So when they come here, which is also another indication that the construct itself has lost some of its power, shall we say, which is, all these are indications. But anyway, getting back to the idea that when we came here, this is not like in 10 years this is where we're going to be, in 20 years this is where we're going to be, in 30 years this is where we're going to be, because we still have the idea here of choice. So we come here, and the rules become different once you are put into this physical form and you actually experience what you experience. It's real easy, theoretically, to draw out anything, but when you try to put it into practical application, it very rarely matches. Would you agree with that? Very rarely.
Very rarely has the dream that you've ever had that creates the expectation matched the reality, because most of the time the lesson is that there is a difference between what you think and what is created.
Shows up.
And
that's right.
It's working out what creates that difference, is working out what that construct, what the construct is the difference. What the construct is the thing that's making the difference, because otherwise you should be able to perfectly manifest your thoughts. But there's something in the way, and that is the construct.
Mm-hmm.
It's
because it's an energetic interruption.
That's right. It hijacks your energy before it gets to the ground. Yeah?
Right. Exactly. So, that being said, as we make these choices, we unfold our path and our role that we're going to play. And I can tell you, as I've been able to look back at my own path to this, up to this point, right, that I made some very clear decisions that took me down other ways that I'm not sure was actually part of what I originally thought I was going to be doing here. That's neither good nor bad. It's just a recognition, because I made choices. So I unfolded my path. It's not something that was destined that said, when I reach the age of 10, I'm going to do this. And when I reach the age of 20, I'm going to do this. And the age of 30, I'm going to do this. Those are for the very, very cerebral people. And good luck with keeping them on track with that. I don't know. You know, I still see some people that have the capability of doing that, but they're very disconnected with anything other than the cerebral aspects of this dimensional this dimensional rules and regulations as it's being construct. Perceived by them. Yeah, I didn't want to use that word again, but yes.
We need an alternative word to describe the thing that the construct is, because the construct is a construction. It's a like an application. It's a program, an app. you know. Exactly. And
exactly.
So here we are. We now recognize that the construct is an app. We're at the top of the first hour. I want to play some music, and I have no idea what to play. I'm going to go for. Here we go. This one is by Louis Armstrong. It's called The Beautiful American. And welcome back. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond. And I've just dropped my thing. Anyway, there we go. There it is. I've got a little file that puts the right letters. There we go. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. I'm speaking with Rebecca Jernigan, and in the last hour we've been describing the construction of the construct, which is an artificial construction. It's known in various ways as the Great Illusion, the Great Deception. It's also known as the Matrix. It's also known as the overlay, which has an effect. It basically shuts down the mind to only accept certain ports, and doesn't feed on anything, feed you on anything else. And those ports are ultimately highly controlled. But that's not what we're here for, really. What, you know, humans are here for. But there's a team been sent down in deep sea diving suits, aka human skin suits, in order to deconstruct the thing from the inside, which is apparently the only way to do it. So here we are, now we know what the construct is. How do we and also, you know, where do we get to where's the control panel? How do we find the control panel? And how do we then reprogram it so it works to our advantage and eventually runs itself down so that people can go back to being kind of naturally who they are?
Well, first of all, the Elohim would like for me to tell you, thank you for asking such great questions. They are so excited to answer this.
I'm very happy to make them very excited.
They've been on an excitement roll here for the last few days, I can tell you that. So let's get to most everybody I would think out here has probably seen the movie Matrix. The Matrix?
Yeah.
And the guy that sits there at his computer screen and he watches the binary code come in, right? And he can tell when people drop in, drop out, right? He has that ability to see the Matrix, which is the construct. I mean, literally, when you go into Neo and Morpheus, when they're sitting there, he said, this is what the world really looks like, right? It always got me thinking, that whole idea. Of course, our world really does not look quite like that. But, you know, when you remove the matrix or the construct from the illusion of the people, okay? But getting back to the idea of the construct itself, it is a technology. And I remember watching this movie going, oh my God, this is it. This is what they've been talking to me about. This is it. This is it. I was just excited because here on, even though it's a little, it's different, it's still, the message is the same. It is a technology. That's all it is. So we are working from it from the inside out. And I'll tell you why we're working from the inside out is because we can't get anyone on the outside to hit the button where it turns it off. So we said, okay, so we had to devise another plan. And so that's why we are the pioneers here. We are the pioneers to see if we can break down, if our heart center, if that vibration that we carry within the human soul, the human spirit, can break through the technology, because the technology, you have to understand that technology is also part of the energetics of that which builds it. Okay? Which is why people can go and touch an item that's been made and they can pick up a beat. It's called psychometry. We deposit energy into anything that we touch. We can wave our hand in the air and we can feel the energetic waves where we have changed the energy in our air, literally around us, by waving our hand with our thoughts and our intent. Okay? So as we're working from the inside out, we're all over here waving our hands and doing these things, and it will eventually, it's already begun, and it began a long time ago, because it's a slow process of eroding this. But if we could actually figure out what this technology was, we could take this down in split seconds.
We could take
the whole thing down if we understood the technology.
Okay, now, so can the Elohim help us with that?
The rules were, we get no help except for those. They can help. Let me reframe that. Okay, I've been told to reframe this. Yes, they can help.
They heard my response.
Yes, they can help, but they can't push any button out there to stop it. You see, because that wasn't the mission. Because if it was that simple, then we wouldn't need to be here. You see, there's universal laws that are working here, not man's laws, but universal laws. We think we understand them, but we only understand them to the level of which we can comprehend them. They are way more profound and deeper than what we currently recognize or understand, just like the quantum physics and beyond. We know that they're there, but we don't know how to access it. We don't even know how to describe it. We don't even know how to bring it forward, because we don't know exactly what it is, because we're not familiar with it. There's universal laws here that are working. And the rules of this game, and that's what this is. It's a weird game, though, isn't it? That we decided we were going to play.
Yeah, right.
Is to come down. Because remember, I said to you, is that there are other planets in other galaxies and other solar systems and other dimensions that have something similar to what we have here. We are, this particular one, they're telling me we are the second planet to have this construct in place. The first one did not go as planned, as they're sharing with me now.
I was expecting that the second one failed as an experiment or something like that.
The first one did. We are the second one. We haven't failed.
All right. Yeah. No, sorry. I mean,
Just so we're very clear, we have not failed. Because the first one, there are no inhabitants.
Right.
For whatever reason, and I don't know that it pertains to this discussion anyway.
Because
what we're they're just, I don't even know if it was ever.
Maybe they got out. Maybe it worked.
Well, either they got out or they were never placed there to begin with. Mm.
So let's talk about So nowadays, we've got language for computer networks, we've got language for servers, we've got language for client server, we've got databases, we've got hard drives, we've got memories, you know, we have CPUs. We understand these concepts. We understand fiber optics and networks and internet and, you know, iPhones and apps and all these things, you know, wireless. It would have been magic 100 years ago, but now we have a conception of it. You know, we got an idea. I mean, and personally, I work with this stuff, and I've worked with it for like 30 years, so I understand it. But everybody's got an idea, you know, that there is some kind of insanely magical force that makes it possible for you to listen to Journeys with Rebecca on a mobile phone.
Right.
You know, that's magic, isn't it? You know,
it is.
You're sitting in a house somewhere in the middle of nowhere, or somewhere, or where, and then somebody else on the other side of the planet can pick it up just a few microseconds later. I think that's pretty impressive.
You know? I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I would still think fax machines are the coolest thing since sliced bread.
Exactly. Magic. Magic. Yeah, I still appreciate email, even though I've been using it for more than 30 years, you know. So,
for sure.
So, here's the thing. Now we have an understanding, a conception of what a network might be. we have a conception of what harp is. So we have the idea that we could have a series of harps on an energetic internet that can talk to each other and share frequencies and emit particular frequencies and all of that kind of stuff, that there is enough artificial intelligence around to figure out that it's possible to create something. We may almost have the level of technology and understanding to create a construct.
Okay.
So the question then becomes simply, upon what server does this run? What is the network? What is the antenna? What is the receiving apparatus? What is the transmitting apparatus? And where's the off switch? So,
okay.
If you guys could give us a few clues as to that, then I'd be very happy and we could get on with the job. Thank you.
They're smiling at that one. Ah, were it to be so easy. Yeah. Ah, were it to be so easy. So here's what I'm being shown is we, matter of fact, I was just watching this on TV the other night. I was channel surfing and found this thing where they were talking about Earth's energetics, right? And they were talking about how that they believe that under our oceans, or in our oceans, not under, but in our oceans, that there are portals. The scientists, now these are some scientists, and I wish I could remember the show, but you know, I never remember the details of stuff like that. Through the years, I've frustrated myself so much because I'm just not cerebral enough to write things down, to make note of it, or to go, okay, I got to remember I was watching that show at this time, and this is who was speaking. I'm more interested in the content than I am of where the content come from.
Okay. Well, anyway, heads up with the content.
Right. So the content is that they were showing graphs of portals that were in the ocean, 7,000 to 9,000 feet down or something like that. I don't remember. That they say are dormant. And, of course, the information I got was, no, they're not dormant. You just haven't necessarily been used a lot recently. But it was about this idea of the energetics. You see, when I get something and I connect with it, it connects dots in other places. It may seem like it's arbitrary and that they don't really meet up, but they do. But there's something about these wormholes and the energy or the technology, whether they're, and I've always said on my shows, I've talked about this, is that there are man-made portals. And there are naturally occurring portals, wormholes, whatever you want to call them, right? Are naturally occurring. Some of them are manufactured because they recognized what the energy was and was able to recreate it in a lab. We do that all day here on this planet in a very, very rudimentary way in comparison. So the construct itself is a technology that is similar, that has a similar frequency or vibration, or if you will, a tone. It's like you'll be able to hear. It's like plucking a guitar string. It'll resonate or it won't resonate well when you pluck it just that once. It'd be in tune or out of tune. So that's what it comes down to, is this tonal quality that I get to this construct. And if we can find the right tone or quality or the right energetic line to tap into, if there's anybody out there that can understand it, they could begin to disintegrate this at a much more rapid pace. But you know, here's the idea, is I'm all for disintegrating the construct, but we cannot do it as a instantaneous thing. You think people are chaotic now. Take away all the illusion in a split second and think about what that would do to everyone. You see?
That would be a shock. So
it would create pandemonium, of which we would never understand. That we don't have the capabilities to understand what it would do to some people. So the construct itself needs to be disintegrated at a little bit more rapid pace, in my opinion. And we can do it. We can deconstruct it. If it's been built, we can unbuild it. That was a lesson I learned a long time ago. I learned that lesson a long time ago. If somebody else made it, and they're manufacturing it in a manufacturing facility, you can manufacture the same thing at home, because somewhere it had to be built as a prototype. Somewhere.
That's right.
If you buy food in the store that's been canned, right, canned food, you can can that food at home safely and securely, because it was done that way before we put it into the big manufacturers to do that for us. So anything that has been made can be unmade and vice versa. It's logic. It's the way the universe works. That's duality. If it's been made, it can be unmade. Just like you can take a wall, you can tear it down, but you can rebuild it again. If that's what you want.
Yes, you can take a wall, you can knock it down, and you can take the bricks and reconstitute them into a fireplace or a barbecue or a doghouse. You can repurpose that which has been deconstructed. So, what we want is actually to be able to
harness the power of the construct
for the benefit of people, right, and not the benefit of those who have hijacked it. So basically, Rebecca and Elohim, we need the username, the IP address, and the password, please. just like, if you could, in a dream, I don't mind, whatever the galactic equivalent of the username, IP address, and password, and I can do the website. You know, I've done WordPress, you know.
Okay.
I'm sure I'd be able to figure my... there must be a manual somewhere. Actually, I bet you've got a manual in your field.
I probably do.
It's in your field. I can see it. It's just to the right.
I probably do. I probably studied it, you know, in other life cycles or timelines or whatever you want to call it. But interestingly enough, what you prompted me to look at was maybe not the deconstruction so much as the reusing of that construct. What if we, reprogrammed it? What if we reprogrammed it to, first of all, is to break the illusion and the spell that's been over all of humanity? What if we made it vibrate in a different manner? You wouldn't know until you got into the energy to see if you could actually rebuild it or to reprogram it. Again, let's take that. Let's say we have a long wall and that wall falls down and you want to rebuild that wall and you get in there. You find out that half of the bricks are broken, and so the wall will no longer have the integrity that it had before when it was first built, yes? So you take that, instead of building up a wall, you're going to reuse it now. You're going to make a barbecue pit, you're going to make, you know, a stove, you're going to make a doghouse, you're going to make whatever out of it. So you're reusing those bricks, just like you were talking about, but you're putting them into a whole different way of using them. So it's not the original idea of a wall to, say, hold back water, okay? Now you're reusing it for shelter or to cook on. So the whole concept is not the reversal of it. It's reusing it in a whole different manner. So if we look at the construct and we can really figure out what energetics that this is actually attributed to. I mean, we know about HAARP. We know about psychotronics. We know about all that stuff. But do people like you and I really understand it completely? I mean, anything that's used against you, you should be able to, you know, do something different with it, to either manipulate it into a different course or change its direction or its focus or its intention, you know, whatever. Yes, energy is energy. Yeah. Energy is energy is energy. So the same is to be said with the construct. We have to really figure out what the design was, you know, what was the design of this? So that you know whether or not just to totally dismantle it and rebuild it, or to refocus it and to reuse it in place, but in a whole different manner.
Okay. So now, when I have a website, and I'm working on websites, there's a file called info.php, which is a request to the system itself to tell me about itself. It's like a help system. It's like typing help into it. Does the construct have an internally built help system?
They're asking you to rephrase the question?
In a computer program, like in an operating system, if you press a key, and the key is F Foxtrot number one, F1, the F1 key, I got into trouble before, but if you press the F1 key, you get the screen comes up and it's like, how can I help you? So is there an equivalent for the construct?
In a word, yes, but it's not as simple as that. The procedure to access what you call the F1 is not as simple as what you would call pressing a key. It's an extremely complex system, and if you hit the wrong button, and again, they're keeping it simple in the same terms you used. If you hit the wrong button, let's say you hit the F2 button instead, that causes an alarm, and that then causes a shutdown in a negative way. It locks it up. So then you have to go through and figure out how to unlock it. So in other words, it'd be like a hacker. You'd have to have a hacker come in to open that back up because you hit the wrong command key and it shut it down. It thought there was an intruder.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. So I get that. So we saw that in the TV series Eureka, where they had an automated house and the house would often sort of lock everybody in because it didn't recognize
them. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, everybody's in here. Yeah. You're all dead now.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're mine.
Big, you know, sort of 6-foot walls just come, 6-foot iron walls come sliding down out of the thing. Which also is a bit, you know, the very Indiana Jones in the pyramid thing. So, okay, so basically, it's a security system, and the question then is it our job to go and hack this in? Or is this for somebody else? Or is this, you know, why are we talking about it? Is it our job?
It is our job, but we're working at it from a different way. We're working at it from the subtle way, which is, again, it's about raising the consciousness level, your own frequency, your own vibration. The more humans that do that, it eats it from the inside out. That is not anything that has been built as a mechanism. And it's also part of the, you know, the understanding, again, they knew it wasn't going to be built to last forever because the technology itself would outgrow itself. Just like we've seen, no longer do people use, you know, cassette tapes or VCR tapes, or at least very few people still do, right? Because it's outmoded, outdated technology when there's something that's better, quicker, faster, lighter, et cetera, and so forth, right? So the technology is already outdated, at least as far as they're concerned, because they have also, you know, been busy doing their own thing, growing and changing and doing whatever, whoever they are. I don't know who they are yet specifically. I'm getting quite a few actual races that were a part of this, so I can't be any more specific than that at this time. But they all had their hand in it. So the one thing that they knew is that if it was to deteriorate, it would deteriorate due to, you know, natural process of degradation. Just like if you have something on a CD, you may be able to play that CD for years and years, and all of a sudden you get in there and all of a sudden you got skip spots. The next time you play it, you got more skip spots because eventually it wears out. So it degrades it to the point where now there's nothing left of it except for this outer shell, right? You still have the CD, but it no longer is operable. It no longer does what it was designed to do, which is to play music or listen to something or, you know, whatever it is that you had on that CD, right? So we are degrading it. That was part of the information that somebody garnered many, many, many eons ago. I don't know who it was. That we could degrade it from the inside out. In other words, deteriorate it from the inside out. It would be a slow process, like rust, a rust car. You get you may have a little bit of rust. You don't take care of that rust. Eventually, you're driving down the road and your whole fender wheel comes off, right? Your fender panel comes off. or your trunk rusts off. But okay. It was a slow process.
All right, so what's the equivalent of salt and oxygen? Let's go to this. If we can deconstruct it like making it rust, what's the equivalent of the rusting agent?
Human energetics.
Okay, and is it love?
It is love. It is integrity. It is graciousness. It's humanitarian. It's generosity. It's kindness. It's sweetness. It's understanding. It's compassion. It's all of those things. Love is a vibration and a frequency of all those other things that I just shared with you. So the more generous you can become, and I don't mean by giving your money away and your items away. Generosity, you need to look at the bigger picture of what generosity is. You can be generous with your time, your information. You can go over to your neighbor and help them shovel out their snow or do something. That's generosity. Compassion, humility, kindness, the assistance to others, being in service without giving up of one's own self in that sense. These are all aspects of what we call love. It's the love frequency. It's also, getting back to the beginning part of this conversation, it also has to do with letting go of that memory that was placed here because of these energetics rising. It's like you can look at something and until somebody tells you what that is, you go, oh, I didn't know that's what that was. As soon as you know what it is, you go, oh, okay, well, now that I know what it is, that makes a whole big difference, right?
Exactly.
It's like, we now that we know what this is, we can say, well, then that doesn't apply to me. I'm not buying into this construct anymore. I'm not buying into this illusion. I still have to function here. But because you're changing your core belief, it changes your energetic. You have to really believe it and know it and own it. You have to own that.
Because if you believe something, you're giving energy to it.
That's right.
Instead of, and really, literally, it's like an umbilical cord between you and that thing. It's such a tangle.
That's right.
It looks like one of those photographs of Delhi, or it's like where your call centers are. It's like all these scrabble spaghetti spider web of wires, and that's what the world of glamour is like. It's like all these weird connections, and when you believe in something or you believe something, you're giving it energy. And if it's a fake, if it's a fraud, then that energy is being stolen from you. Yeah, if it's true, if you for instance, you're kind to somebody who is really down and out, and they make something back of themselves, and they really do help themselves and get back on their feet, and everything gets better. Then you weren't wasting. But otherwise,
right.
Most people are just believing in the idea that we've been given is that humans are horrible people, and I think it's not true. I think humans are good people, and that they're horrible people, and they're horrible people for telling humans that they are. It's like a bad dad telling a kid that they're a bad person even though they're not, and that traumatizes them and turns them into a bad person. It's just awful.
Right. Yeah. Well, then he tells me I must be that way, so it'd be okay if I do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's the core beliefs that I've been talking about. And the core beliefs is that we are less than. Those who appear to have power and control over us. We're less than because we're not the chosen ones. We're not the elite. We're not the ones making all these choices and decisions. That could be further from the truth.
All in all, we are not good enough. And that is such, I don't know how many human beings I know that don't have that. This energy of like, I'm not good enough. Everybody feels not good enough. Thanks. Everybody feels like a fraud. Just let me tell you, everybody feels like a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
imagine if you knew that Obama knew that he was a fraud and that he was defrauding everybody and that he was terribly guilty about it, and that's why he has to smoke crack. Anyway, meanwhile.
Oh, there you go. Good answer. So let's get back to this thing about earlier too. We were talking about the mask that people wear, right? And again, this is not about saying that everybody on the planet's going to be on board with this, because they're not. It's obvious. because there's choices to be made. There's lessons for each of us to learn. We're all on our journey. We're all on our path. We're all on different levels, if you will. Not levels, but we're at different parts of the road. The road is all the same in a sense, right? We've all got something to do here, whether we're in neutral territory, whether we walk the dark side, whether we walk the light side, whatever our mission or goal or purpose is, we certainly can change it. It is a choice, but you're obviously not going to hold up somebody that doesn't align with the positivity of you. In other words, if somebody's soul is dark, and you talk to them and you share compassion and love and honor with them, that's all you have to do. That's all you're obligated to do. You don't have to change them. You don't have to change their mind. You don't have to do anything. The choices then becomes up to them, whether or not from your influence or by observing you as the individual, whether they choose to stay on their path or not. But if more and more people will choose to get into that love vibration, that higher frequency, that higher mindedness, I call it, and move literally into it and rethink their belief systems about what is really truth for the human and the experience here. What was the original intention? Because we have to get back to the original intention. We were not meant to be like this. This is not how this experience was supposed to be, which is the reason why we are all on this mission. Because the game changed because somebody came in and decided they wanted to change the name of the game. And therefore, that's what made this different. We have to raise the planet. In order to raise the planet into its higher frequency, we have to raise the self. And as we raise the self, we continually deteriorate, or rust, is, if you will, the inside out, inside to the outside of the construct.
Pixel by pixel, we deconstruct the construct. I have to make a song. This sounds like a song. Da, da,
da, da. Oh, we'll make a song up for
a marching song. Yeah, yes, it's like I can feel it. Like it's rusting away. Imagine, like, after 1,000 years, what a railway station might look like. You know, all the iron is kind of more or less just turned into the thin blades of red stuff that are just kind of crumbling and dropping. Iron doesn't last that long. It feels like it is permanent, but it's not like gold or diamonds. All I can hear now is Shirley Bassey. I'm sorry. So, when we're deconstructing the construct, we can... It's like, you know, the best revenge is love. How do we do that? How does that happen? How can we turn rebelliousness and feelings of wanting revenge and punishment and that somebody gets their right comeuppance, you know, all that stuff? Because those feelings are poison to us. How do we deconstruct those, Rebecca?
Well, you know, and you know, this is going to sound, you know, pretty trite, but we really literally need to just to change our mind. We need to look at it from a viewpoint of, okay, so if this is how I really believe, if I really want revenge, what is the end result here? What is that going to net me in the end? Let's say your revenge goes through, whatever you're applying that revenge to. Let's say it goes through. Say you achieve your ultimate goal with that, which is to make somebody humiliated or whatever, right? And then you move on with your life, and you have to look at it and go, you know, really, was that as thrilling as I thought it was going to be? Because usually it doesn't really work out very well for you when you're in that space of wanting revenge or being vengeful. Hateful, hurtful, mean-spirited, whatever you want to call it, all of those things probably fit. But in the short term, it may net you something. But in the end, just as we're beginning to experience on this planet, the truth will come out. It always does. So the truth about your own actions will be shown to you repeatedly over and over and over again. So you have to ask yourself, do you feel good about what you did? To put somebody else in the same space that maybe you did. It's a short-lived high. It's not long. It's not long-lived. It just isn't. And what is the end purpose? Is to make them understand what they did or whatever? Well, I'm sure they already do. I'm sure they already do. But does that few minutes of satisfaction assist you in the grander scheme of your own life? What does it do for you, if anything? You have to change the idea that you have to get even. That's an old concept. Because we do have these natural laws that do occur, right? These natural laws. And it may be their path to have done something mean and hateful to you because that's the path that they need to use to grow and to change. And you don't know that they don't have a conscience or they do have a conscience. But for me, getting even is never an answer. At least in my own world, it's never an answer. It's never had any good outcomes, ever, that I've ever been able to see. Just none at all. And so you have to ask yourself, was that really worth it? And most of the time, if you're really honest with yourself, revenge just does not have a higher frequency or vibration to it at all. It lowers your own frequency and vibration, so you become no better than the one that you have sought revenge on, because you're using the same form of mentality and energetics as they did.
Yeah.
So it's about changing your beliefs. And isn't that what we were talking about? With the whole construct thing? What's the need for the revenge? Why do you have to prove to anybody that you're better? If you know what, you don't need their permission. You know, that gets back into my shows that I've done for a while on the authentic self. Learning to be your authentic self. That's no one's authentic self as far as I can see. That may be the mask, but that's not the authentic self.
So, we have more questions from Johnny. Is how do you love something you hate? And this is a really big issue for lots of people, you know. Because, you know, oh, kumbaya, you know, there's all been new age, where everything's love and it's all good. And yet that person over there is a total a-hole. I'm sure they are. They've got to be the a-hole. Somebody else, like four out of five people aren't an asshole, and one of you, if you're wondering in who it is, it's in the group and you can't think of them, it might be you. But God, that took a long time to come out. Meanwhile, yeah, just had to pestle and mortar that. Yeah. The idea of something so abhorrent to you. Something so you know, disgusting to you that seems to be always part of your life. Why do I always get this kind of person around me? You know, why can I never have a gardener who's pleasant? You know, who likes people more than plants? You know, that sort of thing. How do we love someone that we abhor? Help me.
Well, you know, here's how I look at that. When I look at people that do these despicable acts, or has just got a hatred towards everything and everyone, you know, whatever, right? It doesn't matter if it's an action or if it's their belief or whatever. I have to step back and I have to look at them and I go, well, you know, I actually have to thank them for being who they are, because they have allowed me to recognize what I don't like. And without those people, that do or are a-holes, whatever you want to call it, first of all, sometimes they are a mirror, but a lot of times they are more of an understanding of maybe that was somebody you used to be and you've changed. Maybe you know somebody like that, and that's personal that you know. It's a huge lesson. I mean, they're huge eye-openers going, wow. you know, I wouldn't want to carry a burden around like that, to be mean and hateful and mean-spirited to somebody all the time. I just, that takes a lot of energy to be angry and, you know, and a-hole all the time. It takes a lot of energy to do that. So, you know, God bless them for carrying that torch in this life cycle, right? To teach others, this is what we don't want. It's a huge teaching tool. And so you love them for what they've chosen. Doesn't mean you have to interact with them. You don't have to become best buds with them. You don't have to do anything. You simply acknowledge it and move on. And move forward. Just move on. But acknowledge and move forward. That's it. It's that simple. It is that simple. And it is that easy. Just acknowledge it.
So that's how you can turn hatred into gratitude. Because yes, by finding out what you don't like, you know, therefore, you find you just need to look at the opposite. It's often odd that people don't look on the opposite. And sometimes it's hard.
I know, but isn't this duality that we're experiencing?
Yeah, there we go.
So the logic should, you know, that's the energetics behind this. So the logic should be there for people to look at it from, okay, so what is their, I know what my job is, but I don't know what their job is. What is their job? Well, maybe their job is for people such as myself is to keep me in check, keep my own balance about me so that I don't end up becoming like them. Or that I can recognize people like that and I can stay away from them. I don't interact with them on my daily life. And I thank them for that. Thank you for that.
Thank you for walking down another street while I'm walking down this one. Yeah.
Yes, but you recognize them. I mean, that's it. You're not judging. You are using discernment, but you're not judging. You're just saying, wow, that person carries a lot of negative energy, and, you know, that's certainly something that allows you to take a look at yourself going, I wonder if I have anything. Nope, okay, I'm clear. Or, wow, maybe I do have a little bit of that left. And then you simply, in your own heart, your own mind, you know, in your own personal space, you thank them for showing you what you needed to see and move forward. That's it.
So that takes us to the Hawaiian Ho'oponopono, which may actually be the key to this whole thing, to the deconstruction of the construct, which is, I love you. Now, the I love you means that I recognize that I'm part of the one being that you are the same being of. How can I not? If I don't love myself, how can I, you know, so therefore I love you, and I'm sorry that in somehow my collusion has created this situation in you, and forgive me for that. And then you get to the point when you can thank them for offering the opportunity to examine that part of you that is like that and release it. Release your inner ass.
There you go.
Give him a big hug. Go. Give him, like, go give him, make him a cup of coffee, a piece of toast, and just, you know, wrap him with a blanket and calm him down. And,
Well, you know, I tell the story all the I tell the stories all the time about the grocery store clerks, right? And how I interact with grocery store clerks. So I'll share a story here with you. So I get into the grocery store line, and I'm watching the checker because there's people in front of me. So I'm in my neutral zone, which is where I normally try to stay when I'm out in public, especially. And I'm observing this grocery store clerk, and she is probably one of the most unhappiest, surliest, negative generating individual I had seen in a while. I mean, she was just oozing crap.
Lovely.
Yeah. So as I was observing her and observing her and observing her, and, you know, now it's my turn. So she doesn't even acknowledge that she's now, her other customers left, and now I'm standing in front of her. Now, she didn't acknowledge anybody else, so please understand, this is not a personal, I don't feel personally offended. I'm just in observation mode. So I'm looking at her, and I mean, I'm boring a hole right into her, and I'm looking at her right in her face, and I'm saying, hello, how are you today? In my brightest, cheeriest, loudest voice I can find. And she doesn't stir. She doesn't move. And I thought, whoa, this one's really way beyond what I thought she was. So I just started talking inanely. And when I say inanely, I'm like, oh, you know, I bought those. I don't know. Have you ever tried those? I think they're really good, you know. Or, you know, this is a new brand. I didn't notice you guys were carrying this. I mean, I'm just a chattering and chattering. I'm just finding anything and all that I could talk about. Just being all buoyant. What a beautiful day. It's supposed to turn cold. You know, just chatting. And I get all the way done. And she, you know, points her finger up to the little computer screen. Telling me how much I owe. She not understand to this point. She still has not uttered a word. She's not looked at me. So I looked at the screen, and then you have these little consoles in front of you here in the United States where you can use your little card, you know, your little plastic card, your debit card, credit card, whatever you're using, to make your payment for your groceries. So I'm standing there and standing there and standing there, and she's waiting. And she's looking at the screen because what she's doing is waiting for me to slide my card so she can hit a button so that she can process the transaction. So I didn't do anything. I just sat there and looked at it, looked at my little screen. I had my head down. At one point, I finally felt like she was looking at me, and I looked up and I smiled at her. And I said, yes. And she said, it's $27.82 or whatever it was, right? The dollar amount doesn't matter. I said, I'm sorry, what? And she just looked at me and got this look, and I put a big smile on my face, you know, and I just sent her the biggest cosmic hug I could from across the, you know, the counter there without touching her. And I just smiled real big, and I said, you know, I said, excuse me. And she goes, well, that's $27.82. All of a sudden, she just got this, I could just feel this little love ball hit her, and she just kind of, and her shoulders dropped, the tension left her. I said, thank you. And I slid my car, and I said, I hope you have a really, really great day. And she looked at me, and she kind of blinked, and she smiled again like, what the hell was that about? But I love doing stuff like that, you see? Even if she went back to that space, I gave her a moment of something different in her life. And for me, that was a true act of kindness. I did that so she could have that feeling. Even if she didn't keep that feeling, that was my gift to her. Whether she recognized it or not, it wasn't about somebody coming up and patting me on the back going, oh, what a wonderful thing you did. I did it because I chose to do it, because I wanted to do it. I wanted her to experience something other than what she was experiencing. And I did it out of love.
So, it's shining a little light in the glow grocery. Somebody said, Beatrix said, Rebecca must have been shopping at the Hy-Vee in Blue Strings, Missouri. is M.O. Missouri?
Yes, M.O. is Missouri.
Because they say Missouri loves company.
Oh, very funny. Very funny.
But that's what she put in the chat room there, Beatrix.
I love it.
So we got about five or six minutes left. It's been great to catch up with you, Rebecca. You know, we never have a chance to like get a good line these days with these CMEs and the storms. We've been feeling it. We've been experiencing it. We've been changing. And I think that's what it's about. And more people are going to be like that. And we've been there, so this is, you know, this is the pioneering. The way I see it, you know, it's like we're all walking down a massive valley, a beautiful, natural, green, verdant, blooming valley with rhododendron bushes down the sides and everything. And halfway down the valley, there's a huge industrial grey town. And it's blocking the way to the sea, but it's actually a kind of almost like an apparition. It's like a hologram, and we've found ourselves in that gray bit, and we're trying to find our way out, but we don't know which way it is, because it's like the ship, the construct. It's like we're actually walking on grass, but the construct is making us think that we're walking on concrete. You You know, mm-hmm. it's like there's an overlay. And what we're doing is we're creating our own path through the grass. And the construct, the more we concentrate on the grass, the more the construct will suddenly, well, will eventually disappear and reformat. That's my feeling about how this progresses. And that's what a vision that we can have, that instead of, you know, we're walking down a concrete street and suddenly as we're walking down, it starts growing grass under our feet. And then suddenly before us, there's a clear grass path before us with trees either side instead of houses and industry. And that's how we recreate the natural world in the valley.
Well, that's very beautiful. I can tell you that right now. And I would tell you that's very good information. Because it is, you know, I think a lot of times people don't recognize and they don't remember, I should say, that doesn't mean that vision that you just had isn't going to happen. We just may not, it may not be an instantaneous thing. And, you know, we humans have a tendency to be very, very impatient. We're very impatient. And we have to learn a little bit more patience and recognize that all things in their timing. But I think that we're getting closer. I truly think we're getting closer. Closer to having that, I guess you could call it a utopia for the lack of a better way of saying it. It's closer. It's closer than it's ever been. We can do this.
And I really feel that we're starting to feel the grass under the feet. You know,
I agree.
The reality is getting softer and softer. You know, the ground is getting
softer. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
I like
feel that. So
yeah,
that's and there is a difference between being tuned into concrete and attuned into the grass, and that's where we're moving between those. It's like the 440 and 432. The music. It's slightly right. Accelerated, slightly more constructed. Rebecca Jenny.
I love it.
It's been a lovely afternoon. Thank you very much for
coming to talk to me. Thank you for having me. Seriously, this was... We just don't talk enough anymore. I mean, we just don't. So this has been truly lovely. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I wish to thank everybody out there listening as well. Thank you all so much.
And yes, thank you for going beyond with me. It's been a very interesting and outstanding conversation. So, with that, I'll start this rolling. Thank you very much. I'll see everybody tomorrow night with Jill Mattson on Journeys with JP on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and Revolution Radio. Please catch Journeys with Rebecca on journeyswithrebecca.com and Wolf Spirit Radio and Revolution Radio. Thank you very much. Good night. Beyond.